said, welcome to our Sunday morning service via Facebook Live. And we've been doing this for some time now, and it's been an excellent resource. And so thank you for tuning in, and we appreciate all your prayers and support during this time. And I just want to personally say hello to our Calvary family and say we love each and every one of you. Been praying for you daily and keeping in touch. Some have called in certain prayer requests and updates concerning our prayer list side of the bulletin. And so in just a second, I want to mention some of those updates and a couple things, and then, of course, then we'll pray. I do want to say that our bulletin is continuing on. I know I've mentioned that before, but I just want to echo that again to log on, go to our webpage, calvaryministry.org, you know that, and look at our weekly bulletin there for updates and different things that's taking place and going on as of late. And there we'll have announcements. We've been sending out a column post since all this has started. We did not yesterday, but nonetheless, nothing has changed, and we're still obviously meeting by way of Facebook Live. And we will keep you informed, though, of any changes that take place. And service will be again tonight, 6 o'clock. And so please join us again at that time. And reach out to your family and friends. Thank you for doing so. I know you have. We've been getting many, many views upon our services, and we owe that to you and to the Lord, getting His gospel out during this time. And let me mention a couple things this morning, and then we will go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Miss Mary Kelly, one of our members, she had called this past week and said that her granddaughter, Amanda, as many of you know, she's been on our prayer list for some time, but her granddaughter, Amanda, has been battling leukemia, and Miss Mary Kelly voiced her concern as of late. Some things have taken for the worst, and there's some signs showing of organ failure. So let's pray for Miss Mary Kelly's granddaughter this morning, Amanda. Let's pray for her mother as well. Let's pray for Mary Kelly's whole family this morning when we pray. Let's be mindful of that. I believe she lives down in Florida. And so we said, and we asked for permission to share that upon this mainstream media outlet. Everybody's not comfortable with that, so I'd like to double check with folks. Let's remember Brother David Barker. He's playing for us this morning, but he himself was in the hospital the other day, and he suffered a stroke, but this morning he's standing, and he's doing much better. Of course, we don't take strokes lightly or for granted, none of those things, because they do have an impact on the human body. But we praise the Lord that Brother David was able to rebound out of that as fast as he has, and we pray for no complications in the future from that experience. And so we praise the Lord for that. Also, let's remember Brother Alan Clayton's Aunt Frances. She went home to be with the Lord this past week and spoke with him. At least we've exchanged text messages this morning, and I believe he's going to be conducting her funeral services this week, but Tuesday maybe. And forgive me if I'm wrong on that, but I believe he said Tuesday, somewhere thereabouts. Born again Christian, this woman was, as much as I hear from Brother Allen, and of course, Miss Amanda and the family, some things I've read about on Facebook, that great woman of faith, mother figure to Brother Allen, and just a mother figure to a lot of people. Will be terribly missed, but she is forever healed in heaven. And let's do remember, though, that empty place at the table. When our loved ones pass and we release them and they go on to heaven, there is an emptiness that's left behind. But we're thankful this morning that those that are saved. We know where they are. And so we praise the Lord that Ms. Francis is ultimately healed. But let's pray for the family in days following of that emptiness where she once was. Also, had a great, from what I hear, I had a great Zoom Sunday school class this morning. And Brother Allen and the rest of the class had a great time. And so we praise the Lord for that. I tell you, the Lord is doing something. He, in the midst of all of this, who would have ever thought that we would have been associated so strongly with this outlet of media, learned a Zoom Sunday school class. Thank you, class, for learning that. The Lord has just given us an education all the way around, you know, through this situation. And so we praise the Lord for the new things that He might be doing during this time. Let's bow for a word of prayer. I can go on and on. There's several things that I'd like to mention concerning our current pandemic and things along those lines. But there's enough of that said on the outside of church. The media is storming homes with confusing news. It's hard to know what the real news is. And so this morning, we just want to come together and pray and share God's word with you. A time of refreshment, a time of encouragement is our prayer, and also a time of challenge. And so we're going to leave all of that on the outside of church this morning concerning our current condition. As a world, we may mention some things tonight. But I do want to pray, and then we're going to have us some instrumental music, and then we'll bring the message this morning. Heavenly Father, we slow things down this morning, and we take a moment to say thank you for being our good shepherd. I was able to listen a little as Miss Christie was listening, watching on the Zoom this morning. Thank you, Brother Allen, for that reminder. He's our good shepherd. He leads us and guides us and directs us. Father, we're thankful for your sufficiency. Our sufficiency is not of man, but of God, and we're thankful for that. I pray this morning for all the prayer requests, all the needs. At the same time, we're thankful for you touching Brother David and his stroke he had. Father, we pray for funeral arrangements, situation with Brother Allen, his aunt there, his Aunt Frances. Lord, we just lift up every need this morning. There's so many ins and outs. Gary Bennett has a surgery coming up, live this week, in fact. I want to say Wednesday. And Miss Cecilia Prestridge, they rescheduled her medical visit, Lord, and the news that she was going to receive on what to do in her situation, they rescheduled that for May. So we pray for those things. Lord, I lift up to you today Miss Cassie Kronovich. Lord, spoke to her this week. Father, she needs your touch. To Miss Barbara Ann, Lord, she's at Emory. She's receiving her, what she called her tune-up, receiving nourishment, Lord, through IV. Father, we pray for Barbara Anderson, who actually said that she broke her toe this week. She broke her toe as she stumbled in her living room. Lord, all kinds of needs, all kinds of situations, Lord. And we're reminded that every time something like this happens, whatever the case may be, it does affect our lives. And so help us, Lord, not overlook anybody in their predicament this morning. We pray for our people entirely from start to finish, all the shut-ins, all of those who may be struggling this morning with discouragement, possible depression. Father, I pray that this will be a great time of encouragement and challenge this morning. And Lord, just help us be refueled from this time of Facebook Live. Bless the service, I pray, this morning in a mighty way, and bless it tonight. Help us, Lord, be better Christians as a result of it. We love you. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Appreciate that this morning. Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of Mark. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 4. Gospel of Mark, chapter number 4 this morning. This may be a two-part message. We're not sure as of yet, but we're definitely not going to speed through it. I believe that there's something the Lord wants to say this morning, as He does every time we have church together. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 4, Jesus begins teaching in parables to the multitudes in this very chapter. If you notice in verse number 2, the Bible says, "And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine." And so Jesus was teaching in parables. He began teaching in parables here in this chapter. What is a parable? A parable is basically an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Parable. And so Jesus does this kind of teaching. He tells earthly stories with heavenly meanings. Does this style of teaching because his plain doctrine that was spoken was rejected and despised. As you begin reading the earthly ministry of Jesus, and as he spoke of his doctrine and the gospel of Jesus Christ himself and God's plan of salvation, it was rejected, it was despised. Many people basically put their fingers in their ears and didn't want to hear it. And so this parable teaching, it was tactful teaching. It was a way to get the message across in story form. And so in verse number 3-8, we have the parable of the sower. And then in verse number 13 through verse number 20, we have this parable explained. So here Jesus is teaching, and there's a great big multitude. And so he begins to speak to them in parables, gets into the ship, and he thrusts out just a little. And he begins to speak his doctrine in the form of parables, earthly story with heavenly meaning. With that said, I want to begin reading in verse number 1, and then we will bring about our thought this morning. "And he began again to teach by the seaside. There was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. That's reading verse number 1-9. And again, Jesus was speaking to a mixed crowd, a mixed multitude. And he speaks to them in story form to get the gospel to them. And so he is describing some things in these verses that are parallel to the gospel going out. And some receiving the word and some not receiving the word. And some bringing forth fruit and some not bringing forth fruit. In these verses this morning, there are some components I want to share with you. I can't mention every component, but there are some components. There are some things that complete this big picture of when the gospel goes out, and some things that take place while that's happening, or some contenders, some things involved while the gospel is going out that Jesus encountered. And he speaks of this in parable form. So there's some components here. These components that are within this parable, these components are found within our world even today, as Jesus is desirous of everyone to accept his plan of salvation, the gospel. There are some components that are involved. There are some things that that actually work against the gospel going out. There are some things that work for the gospel going out. There's just some components that were involved in this parable, and actually it surpasses this parable. You'll find in his earthly ministry, there were things involved. There were some things that worked against him while he was preaching, while he was getting the gospel out, while his apostles were doing the very same thing. There was things working against it, but there were some things working for it. Again, this morning, as we live our lives, and in our world today, there are components that work against us in living for God. There are some things that work for us in living for God. And so this morning, I want to just spend a few moments and preach a little while on this subject, components of the sower parable. Components of the sower parable. Again, there's some things in this chapter and other gospels, a couple of the other gospels account of this as well, but there's some things that are wrapped up in this parable that run parallel with our day-to-day when it comes to sharing the gospel, people receiving the gospel, when it comes to the Christian life. There are just components that work for us and against us. And so I like to just look into this parable this morning and mention some of these things. In verse number 3, I want you to notice that there's a sower here. And so we know that in verse 2, he taught them many things by parables and said unto them in his doctrine, verse 3, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And so the first component is that make up this bigger picture of getting the gospel out, of things working for it, things working against it, is that there's a sower involved. Now, the sower at this particular time was Jesus. And he was sharing the gospel. He was, as it were, sowing the seed of the gospel. Now, he did that with plain doctrine. And, of course, it cut a lot of people to their hearts and was not accepted. It was despised. And so he use this tactful approach in speaking with parables. And we see that there was a sower involved. And so Jesus was the sower here. He was sowing doctrine through parable form. And not only Jesus, but his disciples, his apostles, those who accepted him, were also sowers in that day. And I want to say, even in our day that we live, those of us that are born again, that profess Jesus as our Savior, we accepted him through faith and repentance, we experienced the new birth. Now it's all of our job to be a sower of the word. You see, at salvation, we received the word, fell on good ground, and now it's our job, and has been our job, and to go forth and sow the word. So the first component has to do with a sower. This morning, I'm doing my best to sow the word. Brother Allen in Sunday school, in the class there, they sowed the word that way through Sunday school Zoom meeting. Other preachers and pastors and teachers this morning are sowing God's word. They are scattering God's word. They are, as it were, the farmer would go, and after the ground is prepared, he would sow the word. He would throw out and scatter the word. What better time is it? What high time is it now, even now, to be a sower of the word? Through this pandemic and situation in life, God has actually multiplied our means of sowing the word. I want to say concerning our church and our Facebook page and the views we've been getting, listen, all glory to God and church. This is something we can be proud of. But last Sunday morning, collectively, until today, we've had over 600 views. 600 views. Now, I can't wait for the day that, and I believe it's going to be very soon, that we all come back together into God's house. There's nothing like fellowshipping one with another in person. But on a good Sunday, we have so many attend. And now, through this form of media and our way of having church, that has been multiplied and multiplied. We are sowing the word of God. And that's our calling. And we praise the Lord for the multiplication of God's word being sown. A lot of people don't have this platform to speak about God and his love and his coming judgment. Others, their only platform is at the job, which is an awesome place, which really, that's where the rubber meets the road. It's on the job, and you're sowing God's word, and you're met with unbelievers and also believers that are like-minded in faith, but you're sowing the word there at your job. Our children sow the word of God at school. And we're always to be ready to give an answer to every man of the hope that lies within us. We are sowers of the word. And we're living in a world where everyone does not accept the seed that we're sowing. Some people shun the very idea of only being one way to heaven, Jesus. Some people, they reject the gospel as in Jesus' day. But yet we sow the word. We're to continue to preach the word and teach the word of God to a lost and dying world. And so this first component this morning is a sower. Notice again in verse 3, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And there's a second component that I see in this parable, and that is the soils. The souls. In verse number 4 down through verse number 8, there are four types of souls mentioned. Now, these souls are actually four types of hearts that you'll encounter while you're sowing. And I want to mention some of these. In fact, we're going to mention all of them. In verse number 4, the Bible says this, says, and it came to pass as he sowed. Some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. So we have this sower. He is sowing the word of God. The Lord here is sowing through parable form, story form, his doctrine into the ears of the multitude. And he says, there are just some out there in that mixed multitude of people where the word of God is going forth, and yet the seed will go by the wayside. Now, this wayside, where the seed goes by the wayside, this pictures, number one, the hardened heart. The heart that is hardened. Now, it says that, and it came to pass, he sowed, and some fell by the wayside. That phrase, the wayside, it speaks of the beaten path. It speaks of the road that's traveled. And back in Bible days, there was the traveled road, many roads. But he here speaks of the wayside comparable to a traveled road. A road where men and women are walking upon. And so as we begin to look at this wayside, this wayside heart, or this hardened heart, we begin to understand that this pathway that's traveled and men walk upon it, it compacts the soul. It compacts, and every time that a foot is stepped upon it, it compacts and makes hard that surface. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. These hardened hearts. This is the wayside, and part of the multitude out there Jesus was speaking of is saying that there are some who have hardened hearts, and because of that, this seed is falling by the wayside. Now, the seed that lied upon the surface, men would tread upon it. If you notice in the Gospel of Luke, the other account of this, in chapter number 8 and verse number 5, listen what he says. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Trodden down. This is reference to what the wayside is. It's a road that men trod on. They walk to and fro, men and women, boys and girls, and it becomes, the soil on that road becomes hard because it's being trod upon. And now the word of God is being sown, it's being sowed there, and some fell upon the wayside, but that seed that was sowed fell upon, could not go through because of how hard it was. And then it was tread upon that. There are some people this morning who have allowed this world access of their heart, and the influences of this world and the influences of other things have been treading upon. They've welcomed them, those things in their lives. And because of that, their hearts have become hardened. And so whenever the word of God is sown, it does not penetrate through because of the frequent traffic of worldly things, of influences from the world, has made their heart hardened. And so when the word of God is preached, it lies upon the surface and then it's tread upon. The scriptures tell us this morning, I believe it's in the book of Hebrews, the phrase is made known about treading upon under the foot of men the grace of God. And that speaks of the gospel going out. And yet people not accepting that gospel. In fact, they tread upon it. I don't need Jesus. Jesus is not for me. Oh, you are just a bunch of hypocrites that go to church. Holy rollers. All of those things. They're treading upon the free gift of grace. They're walking upon the sacrifice that was given by Jesus. The resurrection that we celebrated last Sunday morning was the Word of God being thrown forth, being sowed. And yet there is a generation in a world today that is treading upon it. They are walking upon the Word of God. And the reason for that is because of the soil that's in their heart. It is a hard soil. And so we see this first soil is that of the wayside. It's the hardened heart. The heart becomes hard when we allow certain influences upon it. We give open access to all kinds of things in this world. And when Jesus was speaking to that multitude, he knew within himself there were hardened hearts out there. Those who have allowed the influences of the world inside their lives, and it has compacted their hearts. It has sealed it even. And Jesus is trying to sow the Word of God, and he actually tells his disciples here. He informs them that every time you preach and every time you teach, don't be discouraged when nobody comes to the altar. Don't be discouraged that there may not be a lot of people take me as their Savior, because there are just some hardened hearts out there. And so we see this first soil, the wayside, it's the hardened heart. God's Word is presented and some tread upon it carelessly, and it is then snatched away, notice, by the enemy. Verse number 4, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. These hardened hearts are the ones who have become callous and indifferent in life. To their families, they become indifferent. To God, they become indifferent. And really, they're not even saved, the ones that the Bible's talking about here. It's the attempt to reach someone, but because of their heart, the seed lies there on the surface and is trodden under carelessly, and then the enemy snatches it away. Listen this morning, if there's someone that is watching or you know someone, you can share this. That sometimes when it comes to people with hardened hearts and trying to reach them, the moment that you share Jesus, it's like the enemy comes and he snatches that truth away from their hearts. No doubt their hearts are hardened, but yet the fowls of the air come and devour it up. Verse 4 says that the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And then we know this parable explained in verse number 15, calls those fowls Satan. And so there's the wayside, the hardened hearts. And notice another one in verse number 5. There is the stony ground. And this is a picture of the shallow heart. He says, and some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. He speaks of the second soil as he sowed seed upon stony ground. Now in Palestine, you'll know that there are very, very, and many, many rocky roads. And so this wayside, these frequently treaded pathways have rocks. And a lot of those rocks are embedded within the soil, not far. But as men and women are walking, they're stepping, and these stones are being pressed underneath the soil. And so we have a picture here of rocks just a bit under the soil. And we know that when these seeds were sown here, there was an immediate response. Notice what he says in verse number 5. And some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth. There was some earth, not much. And immediately it sprang up, So there was immediate response because it had no depth of earth. Notice verse number 6, but when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. You see, this stony ground, the second soil, gives the picture of the shallow heart. Those who listen to the gospel, and they're excited immediately. But then when trials come, and when their faith is put to the test, they dissipate. They forget the word of God. Again, Jesus is speaking to a multitude. And there is no, in the stony ground, those whose hearts are symbolic to the stony ground Jesus is speaking about, there's an immediate response. But then when the tough times come and the sun was out, verse number 6, and it scorched the earth, the Bible says that whatever was produced withered away. And again, that pictures this morning the shallow heart. How that in life there are those who hear the word and immediately they're happy. They're living for Jesus for a week or two. They have, so to speak, turned over a new leaf, is the terminology used. But then because there's not much earth there, because of the stony ground within the shallow earth, the Bible says that whenever the sun was out, verse 6, it scorched it, and because it had no root in it, it withered away. And so many times in life, we are sharing God's word, we are scattering the seed, we're sowing seeds, and there are some who show promise. And sometimes there are those who come to church for the first time and they respond to the altar. And there's excitement and there's great joy, but then you can't find them with a search warrant. Why is this? Because you see, there are those types of hearts in this world that are shallow in nature. They receive just enough, they hear just enough about Jesus to make it through a day, yet they don't want to fully commit their life to Jesus. And so when trials come and things happen in their life, you don't find them. They're not at church anymore. They're gone and they're nowhere to be found. And listen, what is that? That's because when the sower went forth to sow, some fell upon the wayside, the hardened hearts, where men are frequently treading, but then others fell upon stony ground where there was a little earth and there was a little production there, but then when the sun came out, it scorched it. And so many times in life, we're sowing seed and we're preaching and teaching the gospel, and people show promise at times. Oh, I'll come to church and I'll sell out to God. I will commit my life to Him. But then when things happen and trials come and the load gets heavy, they're nowhere to be found. I want to say this morning that true faith and gospel salvation will anchor you during times of trials and tribulations. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, does not matter how hot the battle gets, does not matter what comes our way, we are anchored in Him, the power of the cross, and we can't detach ourselves from Him if we wanted to. And so there's the shallow hearts. God's word was presented, but some hearts had no root system within them. The seed was sown and there was a little sprout, but because of the lack of root, it died. Some people get emotional and some people get excited and they say, oh, I'm going to do all of this for Jesus. And, you know, my life is different and my life is changed. But then when trials come, they're nowhere to be found. You see, this is something that will be experienced and has been through time. And Jesus is speaking in parable form to the multitude, but also He is explaining to His disciples life in the ministry. He's showing them that Not everybody in the crowd belongs to him. Now, I know in life we experience trials and hardship, and especially now there's times of confusion, there's times of discouragement. Listen, those are emotions. And what we find is when life gets heavy and we get burdened, we go no lower in life than our foundation. If our foundation is Jesus Christ, we will go no lower than our foundation. But there are some who do not belong to him because they have no root. They have a shallow heart, stony ground, just beneath the surface, no root system. I want you to notice something else. There's a third type of soil. And we find that in verse number 7. He says in verse number 7, "And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit." The thorns here, it pictures the crowded heart. The crowded heart. The seeds fell in among the thorns, which the thorns were off the side of the road, where the weeds were. And so when this seed was being sown, some fell on the wayside, and some fell among stony ground, but others fell among the thorns, which were mingled in with weeds. And you see the seed here could not grow in such environment, being choked and harassed by the thorns and the weeds. Again, in verse number 7, "And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit." The seed was trying to grow in a thorny patch where weeds were. But you see, the seed suffered strangulation from the weeds. It suffered strangulation from the thorns. This is a picture of the crowded heart. This picture is a person who receives the word, but there's no real repentance in their life. There are these weeds in their life that are hindering the growth. Indeed, it's hindering the growth of this seed. Many in life have their hearts crowded with weeds of the world, going after riches and materialism, fame and the flesh. And these things make a person unable to benefit from the seed. You see, there's a lot of people who come to church occasionally, or who are thinking about giving their life to Jesus through faith and repentance, and they'll accept a gospel message, and they'll be emotionally stirred for a moment. But because of these weeds in their heart, the weeds of the world have a tendency of choking out God's word. And you see, the Bible says in verse number 7, there was no fruit. So we're living in a world here where there are people so wrapped up in the world, in materialism, fame, in the flesh. And yet God, through his messengers and through his church, is sowing seeds. And some fell among the thorns where the weeds were. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Again, this pictures the crowded heart. The crowded heart. This person tries to walk the broad way and the narrow way at the same time. Let me mention something else. Not only there's the thorns, there's the stony ground, there's the wayside, but then in verse number 8, there's the good ground. And it says in verse number 8, "And other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, brought forth some 30 and some 60, in some 100. Let me say this. It's possible for any believer to get wrapped up in the world, to feed the flesh. But ultimately, if we belong to Jesus, there will be a disrobing of the flesh and a desire to go after God. But in verse number 8 tells us that there's good ground. There's the fruitful heart. This is the fourth heart, and the fourth kind of soil, the fruitful heart. This pictures true believers. Because when a person truly accepts Jesus, when the incorruptible seed is sown on good ground, then there will be fruit. You see, the fruit of a Christian is a changed life. Not a perfect life, but a changed life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so this good ground here, again, he is speaking in a parable, and he is broadcasting to the multitude. The disciples are trying to understand these souls here. And he is getting his doctrine through story form. And there's some out there where the gospel is just going by the wayside because the hardness of their heart. There's some out there who will get excited for a little while, but when the storms of life come up, there is no anchor within themselves. There's no root system. And then in that crowd, there's the thorns as well, where the word of God goes forth. But because of the thorns and the weeds that are within the thorns, the seed is choked, cannot produce. But thank God there is good ground in that crowd. There is some who will trust Jesus as their Savior. And listen, again, not a perfect life, but just a converted life. Now, I want you to notice in verse number 8 that on the good ground there was fruit produced, and other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased. Now, in verse number 8, I want you to notice something else, that there was a variety of increases. He says, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. You see, it didn't matter which crop sprang more. The only thing that mattered is that there was fruit there. And I want to say that in life, within the Christian realm, those who accept Jesus as their personal Savior, some believers bear more fruit than others. Some 30, some 60, some 100. But you know, the important thing is not necessarily how much fruit we bear in this context, but I think the main emphasis here is fruit in general. There's fruit in general. The sower is going forth and he's sowing, and some fell by the wayside, and some fell upon stony ground, some fell among the thorns. And you can compare Mark's account of this to Luke's account. But then in verse number 8, there's the good ground. There's the good, where the ground has been plowed. You see, and I actually want to look back in verse number 4 about the wayside. Because on the wayside, this hardened heart, the ground is hard. And you see, with people who have hardened hearts, their hearts must be plowed. And oftentimes, it is a very painful experience for someone who has a hardened heart, for their heart to be plowed, to accept the Word of God. Many times people will hear the gospel preached and will say no to the gospel, and they will tread upon the gospel. They're thinking that their sufficiency is for themselves, and they got all these influences upon their heart that's working. They're just not interested in the gospel. And so many times things happen in life to make their hearts pliable to receive the gospel. Some end up in jail. Some end up in trouble. Some end up at the hospital. Some end up in situations that they're not fond of. But you see, in order for the seed to actually get in the soil and then germinate, that soil must be plowed. But thank God we see that there is a good ground here. There's a good ground. And other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. We will all find that we're all in different phases of our Christian life. Everybody is not, you know, on the same phase, and not in the same phase. All the grounds around the cross are level. There's no big I's or little U's, but we're all in different phases of life, and we're growing in different dimensions with the Lord in our relationship. You'll find that there's some who have a 30-fold, a 60-fold, and then others a 100-fold. There's some that God is using in certain ways of a 30-fold sense. There's some that God is using on a 60-fold platform, and there's others that God is using on a 100-fold platform. It's all equal platforms, all level grounds around the cross. It's just that we're all undergoing different phases in our Christian life. But it's all for the same cause and direction, and that is we're following the Lord. And so this morning we have components of this parable. There's a sower here. There's the souls. There's the hardened heart. There's the shallow heart. There's the crowded heart. And there's the fruitful heart. Let me mention something else this morning. As we look at these components concerning this parable, we talked about the sower, we talked about the soil, but then there's something else I want to mention this morning, and I really feel like I need to, and that is the seed itself. The seed itself. Now, the seed, we know, is the Word of God. He says in verse number 3, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow." Verse number 4 says, "And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell." Verse number 5, "Some fell." 7, "Some fell." Verse number 8, "Other fell." He's talking about the seed as the sower goes forth, this seed as being sowed. Talking about the seed itself. In Luke chapter number 8, he says, "A sower went out to sow his seed." Why should I even mention this component this morning? What's the big idea about the seed itself? Well, when we're thinking about seeds, it's hard not to think about the natural part of a seed. Number one, we cannot make a seed grow. You cannot, I cannot. When it comes to farmers and farming, there's a little seed. There is nothing that we can do to make a particular seed grow itself. Therefore, there is something mysterious about the growth process of a seed. A seed within the seed itself is miraculous. It has its own sustainability. It has its own life force. It has its own productivity. And so the seed this morning that this sower is sowing is a picture of the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12 says, "The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." 1 Peter 1:23, Peter says, "Being born again," listen, "not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed." In fact, it said, "Being born again of not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed, which liveth and abideth forever." Think about that this morning. Just a regular seed, the smallest seed. Bible mentions mustard seed. That was the time, the seed that I've heard others say, and commentators as of late, that is not the smallest seed in the world. But during this particular time, it was the smallest seed they had to point to. And a mustard seed, as small as it is so full of life, is so filled and impacted with potential and strength and ability. And so the possibility, every time that a seed is sown, is so, so miraculous. There is potential within this seed. And so when it comes to natural seed, we can't make the seed grow. I mean, within itself, the seed is doing its own thing. Yeah, we water and, you know, but the seed is being sown solo. It has built within a natural seed its own mysterious growth system. But not only that, I want you to notice that when it comes to natural seeds, you can sow a little seed and then you can reap a huge harvest. The Bible talks about not despising the beginning of small things. Notice, if you would, in fact, in the explanation of this parable, verse number 14, he says, "The sower soweth the word," and he begins to break it down here, and he talks about in verse number 16, the stony ground, in verse number 18, the thorns, but then he gets down to the fruitfulness, verse number 20, "And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, 60, and some 100. It has a very small beginning, the seed does, but can produce a whole lot. Jesus went from 12 disciples in the beginning here to, on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 plus souls got saved. There is life-giving, life-changing potential in God's word. It's this seed that Peter was talking about, this incorruptible seed. It has its own life. It has its own ability and growth system. That's why every time the gospel is presented, there is so much potential of what can happen in any given service or any given set of circumstances, at work, at home, at school. We are sowing a living seed, a powerful seed. It has its own resources and ability. So we see that there, when it comes to these components of this parable, not only there's the sower, there's the souls, but then there's the seed. So miraculous, so self-sufficient this seed is. That's the word of God this morning that's being sown. Let us be excited about sharing this miraculous seed that has the potential of producing a big harvest on any given occasion. One more thing and I'll be through. There's a fourth component, and that is Satan. Now, in verse number 4, we read, "And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up." And then when we read this parable explained in verse number 15, "And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts." This other component in life is Satan. And I want you to notice that whenever God is working and doing something, and it's explained here in this parable, that Satan is somewhere close. These fowls of the air, they came down, and they devoured, they took up the seed of God's word. They took it up in verse number 4. And so many times in the Christian realm, many times in life in general, we see Satan on the prowl. God is trying to do a good work. Not that he is met with any contenders that overcome him, but God is doing a work and God's word is being sown in and through people, yet the enemy comes and he tries to steal that seed. The bird on the branch wants the seeds. And child of God, as you're watching this morning and as you're listening, let's all be aware of the birds on the branches. The devil is as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He is nearby. The devil worked through Judas, we know that. But also when God's net goes out into the sea of the world, there's both choice fish and unbelonging fish. And so we see here that Satan is a troublemaker. In the times that God is doing a work, he's somewhere nearby. My word this morning is, when we get to this last component, Satan, is let's just fortify ourselves. Let's recognize that he is wanting to hinder God's work, but we just continue on, we fortify, we recognize, and then we move on. This morning, the message is simply this: components of the sower parable. There's the sower, there's the souls, there's the seed, and there's Satan. Not only in Jesus' day, these were components when God was doing the work, but in our day, these are components when the Word of God is being sown. There's various kinds of hearts. Thank God for the good ground, those who accept Jesus. But also, let us remember that we have an enemy. Our enemy is not each other. Our enemy is the devil himself. But I'm thankful this morning that he's been defeated at the cross. And only for a little while will he give us trouble. But let's put on the whole armor of God and resist him. And the Bible says that he will flee. The book of James tells us so. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. As we give the invitation, I pray that those at home may respond as they feel led. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, and I hope you receive something from the Word. Did our best to bring that to you this morning, and we'll be broadcasting again at 6 p.m. And so, please join us at that time. Everyone, have a blessed afternoon, and we appreciate you joining with us.